I'm sure that like two asexuals playing this game also isn't necessarily the peak gameplay.
Two asexuals playing a sex game is going to be so good and fun and fine. And we're going to do better than anyone else could.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of New Game Showcase, where I and a guest and sometimes my friend and producer Ash,
Heyo.
Who doesn't qualify as a guest as she is on staff.
I live here.
We're playing a new game. We've played Super Dylan's games before. On this channel, we played Hunter Hunted, and now we're going to be playing All's Fair, which is a massive subject shift from our normal usual content.
Is it? I couldn't tell.
I mean, we got a little raunchy in Wildmore High. There was some, and when we, you know, we had allusions to sexcapades in
a lot of Fade to Blacks,
Lamplight Investigations. Yes, yes, but we are playing an erotic game.
Kenzie, my pearls, they're clutched.
The tagline of this game is literally a two-player game about wanting to fuck each other so bad you save the world about it. This game is based off of Mickey 17, the movie that came out in 2025 that I love. So I'm very excited to play this. But, content warning, again, erotic themes. We will be vividly describing sexual acts.
Which, as asexuals, we know all about. I know so much.
I write so much fanfic. You don't even
understand. You do. I don't. I'm the weak link here, and we all know it. And that's okay. I'm here to learn.
This game is meant to be played in person, where you can physically interact with one another. But we have limitations here. So we are not doing that. We are digital. If you want to get the full impetus of playing this game, you should probably play it in person and put your hands on each other. But alas, Ash and I are not putting our hands on each other.
Absence makes the heart grow fond. No, distance increases horniness. There's something. There's something in there.
So one of you will play the soldier, a hot and capable arm for the regime. The other will play the clone, a beautiful nobody who lives and dies repeatedly at the regime's whim. So here are some important constants about these characters. The clone is killed and by some means resurrected by the regime repeatedly. The soldier loves each and every clone.
Aww.
Each and every clone loves the soldier.
Aww.
The soldier and the clone want to fuck each other bad.
Yeah.
So we have to kind of build our regime here. So the regime is an entity that oversees every aspect of your lives and abuses that power egregiously. Whether you work for them or not, it makes no difference. They have a hold over you. They might be an overreaching government, a powerful corporation, the leaders of a cult, a power-hungry god, or any other kind of corruption you can imagine. So, how does the regime control its people? And here we have to kind of figure out what type of regime this is. Honestly, I kind of like the cult vibe because it brings everything smaller. Like, it's not so big that it's a government. It kind of brings everything smaller and narrower.
Cults always have like a sex thing to them anyways, you know what I mean? And so they're naturally horny. It's a great environment.
Usually the sex thing is bad.
Yeah. This time it's good.
Well, okay, probably the cult sex thing is bad because the cult sex thing is don't have sex, probably. But our sex thing is good.
I like the idea of the cult centering around some sort of like resurrection of a deity. Whether that is like real magic
not
shit
Jesus
or
Christ.
Not Jesus Christ. I'm thinking like Cthulhu style. You know what I mean? Like,
okay,
we want
so
that
cosmic
big tentacle
horror.
Boy here. Yeah, cosmic horror, culty. Whether or not it is actual real within this world or it's just like classic cult, everything's made up. I don't have strong feelings about one way or the other, but I think that's the vibe of it.
What war is the regime preparing to wage? Why would this war benefit them? How do they claim it will benefit the people?
The war we want to wage is against the rest of the world. Like, because a lot of occult thinking is very insular. It's very us versus them. Like, you need to fear the outside world so that you stay in the cult. And so I'm curious to see how far reaching the cult's influence is, if they're like gearing up for that sort of thing and how close they feel they are.
Is this like guerrilla warfare, like on street corners? Is this, like, we have a paramilitary...
There might be a rival cult where, like, there's two cosmic powers, and whoever's able to summon theirs first, like, wins and takes over the world. Cult v. cult. So we're simultaneously trying to sabotage the other cult and perpetuate our mission.
And how will this benefit our people? How will bringing the Cthulhu-esque deity back benefit the people of the cult?
Tying into, like, the clone being brought back over and over again, I think that it can tie into, like, listen, we have, like, an immortal. We can, like, make everyone to make sure no one ever dies, and we just have to get, this is just a little bit of the deity's power, and if we bring them all the way here, then everyone will live forever, and it's going to be a utopia. Like, that's the promise that's sort of given. And, like, the clone is sort of, like, uses, like, a puppet as, like, a head, like, oh, yeah, see, we can kill this guy and just bring him right back because of the god power.
That kind of does answer the next question, which it answers both, but what lie does the regime tell to keep people from revolting? Which is, we can stop cloning you because we will have the power to just extend your life. And then what happens to those who question the lie? Do they die or do they get made into clones?
I think the people that question the regime get... So there's two, like... devastating thing. There's a lot of devastating things that cults can do, but the two that first pop into my head is the ostracization. Where you are still within the cult, within its boundaries, within it, and have to, like, conform to its rules, but every single person actively ignores you. And, like, sometimes that's, like, a temporary punishment. Sometimes it's permanent, but, like, you feel you don't have literally anywhere else to go, and this is still, like, technically a roof over your head and food in your belly.
Kind of, like, excommunicated, but excommunicated just within your own
circles. Yeah, so it does a lot of psychological damage. And then, of course, there's corporal punishment, which is a classic, and make examples of people. And I think it's sort of, like, a random, like, even if it's the same sort of, like, infraction, you don't know what sort of punishment you're going to get, and so it keeps people on their toes a little bit. Like, oh, I could be shunned and tortured mentally, or I could be, like, have, like, lashed or murdered. I think it's up to whoever's in charge, like, about what kind of punishment is dealt out, but there is always something extremely severe that sort of, like, tries to keep people in line.
The soldier, this is you. One of you is hot and a skilled worker for the regime. You are incredibly capable and on track to be a leader in your field. The work you do, full of power and prowess, would make you even hotter if not for the fact that you are forced to be an arm for the regime's fascism. But you're still hot, and a pathetic, wonderful person sees past the job you've been assigned and is hopelessly devoted to you. What role do you have in service to the regime?
I'm torn between just, like, a grunt, like, sort of, like, guard, or one of the people who is tasked with trying to harness the deity's power and, like filter it and, like
scientist,
like, yeah, scientist, or, like, works in the lab to get the clones.
I like
shit
that
done.
One, to be perfectly honest.
Cool. I was leaning towards that one too.
Why didn't you have a choice in serving them?
I think I was just born into this cult and raised into it, and didn't, like, wasn't given a choice, sort of thing.
What small resistances do you partake in to keep you sane?
I think a lot of, like, the science aspect of, like, getting clones together, like we try to, like, purport these clones and people as, like, this is an example of how you're going to get eternal life. But I think behind the scenes, they try to, like, they try to remove the humanity from things to try and get us to fall in line. And so I think that I talk to my little, like, petri dishes and vials, and I try to humanize them, and I name all the different samples and stuff, even if it's technically just, like, 002-3489E or something. I try to find the humanity in any little bit that I can, because they actively try to remove that from the process on the science side.
What's the first thing you would change about the world if the regime fell?
I don't know about the world, because I don't think my characters experienced the world. I think because I've been here the whole time. I think that... So my first instinct was to say, like, stop killing my baby. Stop killing my partner.
you know, the regime fell, but that's all you know. So I guess, like, what in the regime would you change if you thought the world was the regime?
Oh, I think that I would change
the fascism.
The fascism, yeah, but I think that there's sort of like a caste system as well. I think that like all the people who do X sort of jobs live here and it's very insular, and all the people do this here, and like the only times we all come together are during like temple services or church or whatever. But like otherwise it's very like, no, your job is this and you are not allowed to like work outside of those parameters or you will be punished for it. And I think allowing people to choose what they want to do rather than be like told what they have to do for their life, it would be important to me.
And lastly, how does the clone keep you encouraged?
Well, besides the great sex, I think the clone is one of the only, if not the only person that like will let me express interest in things outside of my designated field. Like, I can express joy and wonder at like art or agriculture or like other things that I see and not be like, but that has nothing to do with like your job in the lab. Like, why do you care? I think the clone like encourages like individualism. The clone encourages individualism, but not in like the hyper individualistic way that we're sort of having to deal with now, in the like, you are your own person, you do not have to, yeah, self-expression, things like that, in a healthy way. The clone: one of you is a pathetic wet crumb entirely under the regime's thumb. They kill and resurrect you again and again to advance their nefarious goals, and your life revolves nearly entirely around the horrors they put you through. Except for when you are fucking your unbelievably hot partner. They are the only one who sees you as a whole person, and you would do anything for them. And so now you have a few questions about the clone to help build your character. What mortal dangers do you encounter at the hands of the regime?
I think because I'm expendable, like literally anything. They test anything on me. Like, we have a little bit of power to make you a clone. Well, what if we push that and try to make you live forever? Oh, you're dead. Oh, we're going to send somebody. Yeah. Oh, we're going to send somebody out to like scout the other cult's like secret hideout. Oh, bomb went off. Too bad for you. Just like, because expendable, just anything that they know will end in death, that's a job for me.
What process do they use to bring you back to life each time?
I was going to say something really fucked up about like having to collect the body parts and stitching them back together, but that's a little bit much.
Maybe that you do need some piece of the DNA. So like, we keep vials of your blood.
They do keep vials of my blood, and then the issue is, though, it grows back, like, cell by cell, and it's, like, excruciating as, like, my skin starts stretching, and it's really gross.
Yeah, so, like, the more body parts we have, the faster and easier your regeneration is, but, like, they don't really bother with doing that, and so they just, like, all right, grab another vial off the shelf, pop it into the magic Cthulhu machine, and we beep, boop, beep, boop, microwave, beep, boop, beep, boop. I got a person a few hours later. How long does that process take, do you think, if we're starting from a glass of a vial?
It seems like it would be days.
What good do they promise you will come of these deaths and rebirths?
I am going to be the reason they succeed. So, like, every time I die and every time I'm reborn is one step closer for everyone not to have to have my fate. Which is probably not how they put it, because that would be accepting, that would be admitting that what they're doing is mean. But that's like the vibe of what they tell me.
What desperate mess were you in when you agreed to be their lab rat?
I had been in a really bad accident. And I was like missing pieces of my body. And they found me and they were like, we could fix this for you. And I was like, yes. And then it wasn't really a fix. I just was made into a new version of myself.
Ah, beans. Happens to the best of
beans.
They got me again, shit. And then how does the soldier make all of it worthwhile?
Well, you know, aside from the fucking
yeah, brother,
Yeah, brother. I think that they're the only person that doesn't make me feel expendable. So that's nice of them.
That's good. Nice to be treated like a human.
Oh, we should pick names just in case, probably. I want to be a they, them.
I like the visual of a boss bitch with like a very severe high ponytail and a lab coat.
Love that.
So I think she's very outwardly femme, but she's comfortable with they, them pronouns as well, but she's a she, her, or they, them.
I want to be Colby.
Colby's good. I'm going to write that down. Sorry. Like Colby Jack. Like the cheese. Should I be Havarti? No, there's got to be a better. Brie?
That's a name. Brie and Colby. This I can't believe we've just done this. I can't believe you've done this.
I can't believe you've done this. We're naming each other after cheese. What's sexier than cheese, Kenzie? Riddle me that.
So, friends, any of you who ever played the game War? Because that is what we are playing. So what happens is we duel back and forth as you do with War, but it's like a bit slower. So every time we pull a card, there's going to be a prompt that we have to do. And these are intimate prompts. So these are, the playing of War is the fucking. And then when we actually draw a war where two of our cards are the same, two of the ranks, I should say, so each of us like pulls a four at the same time, not the suit, but the rank. That is when we are like actively called by the regime to go up against whoever we're fighting in the battle. And then we go into war cards and war prompts. But we'll kind of go into more detail on that as we go. Because we are also playing this game for the first time, so we will have to consult the rules, and we will try to explain as best as we can, and not bore you by sitting here in silence and pulling cards. And
just reading a PDF on a
computer. Yeah.
That's great, yeah. Audio. What do you mean? People love that.
Yeah, I think we just each flip, whoever has the higher card starts the goes to the intimacy table and reads the prompt for the higher card.
I got the King of Clubs and Kenzie got the Queen of Clubs. Oh my gosh, we match. How did I let you know I was close?
Feet wrapped around the waist, heels digging into the dimples in my back.
Literally locking you
Literally
in. Locking you in.
What did I do that pulled you back in with me?
Brie was, her mind was wandering and she was like, oh, I want to focus on my partner, but like, I have to wear like spreadsheets and you were just like, hey. And you just like, very slowly grabbed each side of my face and pulled me into like a kiss or just like a change of pace if we're like really going at it, but you can tell I'm just sort of like thinking about other things too. You just like physically forced me to look at you, and then the physical contact of a kiss that then deepens and then gets even more frantic after that too.
Okay, so I am the high card Jack. So what did I whisper to you that made your sighs louder?
I think you just like leaned in and said, you're doing such a good job, baby girl. How did I tell you I loved it without saying it?
Nails in the back. Nails out in the back. I think that there are scratches after. Definitely.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we don't come away from these encounters unscathed. Ain't no way.
Not at all. I got a 9, so I am the high card here. What did I do that temporarily ruined the mood?
I think you brought up, like, your last death. In a way where you were trying to, like, jokingly, like, oh yeah, haha, and, like, being dismembered is not as fun as you would think, blah, blah. And I was just like, that's not funny. And you were like, okay, sorry.
The vibe of a guy who thinks dismemberment is bed talk is so good.
It's really like gallows humor, but to like the wrong crowd. To the person who actively is so distressed every time that you die.
Something like, I almost forgot what it feels like to have sensation in my left leg. And you're like, what?
Like, Colby, that's not funny. Why would you bring that up? Just like, immediately like, that's fucked up, actually. What did you do to bring the mood back even stronger?
Colby takes Bree's leg hooks it up on their hip, flips so that Bree is on top now, and like surrenders full control.
Basically, like, I made you mad. Here's my soft underbelly as an apology.
puppy play exists. How did I let you know that your mouth felt like heaven?
I think you were like moaning normally, and then it sort of like went up like a couple pitches. How did I signal to you that I could have you in my mouth for hours?
Whenever Colby's hands, one or both, are not occupied in some way, two fingers in Bree's mouth.
Queen of spades. I'm on top, baby. Where did I idly touch you that made you want to start again?
Little finger trail over hip and like up the ribs and like then back down. What did I do that pulled you back in with me?
Like the idea of Colby being like very needy for attention and Bree sometimes like getting distracted, because we said that earlier. And so I think you started out just trying to like pull me by like my hips, eventually got frustrated and then just sort of like grabbed my hair and like pulled me in. And that was like, oh yes, hello. heard. Ooh, this one's fun. How did I help you remember to stay quiet?
Your hand goes gently over Colby's throat and then very slowly applies pressure until there's like red coming up their neck and their face so that they can't speak or can't be loud.
And remember, kids, whenever you're choking someone for fun, you want to squeeze on either side so you're cutting off the blood flow. Don't press on the trachea, because that stops the breathing, and you do need to do that.
Because you're cutting off my ability to talk, how did I express the noises I desperately wanted to make?
They have, like, you pressed up against the wall, one hand on your throat while they're, like, fingering you. And then because you can't, like, express vocally, I think you just sort of start, like, rolling your hips to try and get more contact. Because you're trying to, like, get some sort of, like, release somewhere. And I'm just fucking with you. I got okay. A joker. Shit.
Yes, joker. Yes. Okay, so if a joker is pulled, a multiple event has occurred, and the game will change significantly from here. We haven't even gone to war yet.
Oh, shit.
Somehow, a new clone was resurrected without the death of the last one. When a multiple event is triggered, set the joker and the card beaded aside for a moment. And if during war, complete all other war prompts as usual. Then shuffle both jokers back into the clone's deck and set the winning card at the center of play. We're not in war, so we have to answer a couple new questions.
Distinguish your two variants with a unique title, either like a serial number, military code, nickname, something.
Okay, well, it has to be Jack. We're making this stupid cheese thing. Yay! It has to be Jack.
Yay!
Colby and Jack. Colby, Jack, and Brie. Let's go.
Fuck yeah, baby. We're making a grilled cheese. Hell yeah, brother. Sexiest thing imaginable. What do the coexisting clones loathe in each other?
Jack does not like how needy Colby is. And Colby thinks that Jack is cold.
What do the coexisting clones admire in each other?
Colby admires Jack's determination. I think Jack actively is like, solution. Let's stop being the fucking bait. And Colby's like, oh, we can do that? And then Jack, I think, even though they hate how needy Colby is, they admire how well Colby takes care of Bree. For the soldier, what will the consequences be if the regime finds you harboring two clones?
I think that's specifically when this card was pulled, I was like, I think that Bree saved the last clone and everyone else thought it had died, which is why another one was made. They were in her house and she was like trying to hide it, and then Jack showed up because Jack has the same memories and everything, and they were like, hey babe, that's another me. And then Colby was like, ah, I figured this was gonna happen at some point. And so I think there's like a because especially like if Colby had to like physically like be like taken care of for a while because they were severely injured and Bree like saved them, I think they are also weaker than Jack because they weren't like brought back at full health. And if the regime finds them, they will sort of like see it as a sign of weakness within, like Colby's would be seen as a sign of weakness within the order. And like, if you can have two people at the same time, if that gets out, then their whole shtick that they sell to people to keep them within the cult is gonna sort of crumble because people see what's going on behind the scenes. Like, this isn't someone who can't die. It's like someone being resurrected over and over again. Like, they're not offering immortality. They're offering a Sisyphean sort of life. And so I think that they would try to make an example of Bree and Colby and Jack in like the most torturous way possible. So probably like killing one in front of the others. Sort of, well, definitely would kill Colby in front of Bree first as a way of, like, you tried to save this one and it's not gonna work. And then they would find other ways to punish, to continually punish Jack and Bree, like, in secret. Like, they wouldn't get out otherwise, because again, it would be dangerous information. But it would just be bad.
What new motivation has this anomaly inspired in you?
I think Bree, for the first time, is considering a way to try and get out of the cult, because she knows that they cannot be found, and if they stay here, they eventually will be. And so she is now motivated not just to like survive and get through the day and like take moments of joy and sexiness when they can find it, but to be like, no, we actually need a solution to this problem. We can't just keep putting a band-aid on it.
What difference in the new clone turns you on?
I think Jack is a lot more forward than Colby. I think Colby was good at reading Bree's emotions when they were in it and like could bring her back sort of thing. But like when it came to initiating things, Bree pretty much was always the one who like initiated sexy times. And I think that Jack, like, maybe like the first time that they showed up was like, hey, I need to fuck right now because I just got back to life. And Bree was like, oh.
We now have to move on to the multiples intimacy prompts. There is stuff that happens during war. For instance, now if Colby dies, no longer resurrected by the regime. The winning card gets set here, and this is the multiples card. Okay, great.
That's Jack's. Oh my god, and it's the Jack!
That's actually really funny, but I did do it for the cheese. I did do it for the cheese, but that's really funny. We did it for
the cheese, but then the card was also like, I want the cheese.
When the clone and the soldier's colors match and the multiples does not, the original couple are falling into their comfortable dynamic while the multiple clone remains disconnected. If the multiple clone and the soldier's colors match and the clone's does not, the soldier and the multiple clone have discovered a new connection. If both clones match but the soldier does not, the two have found something to admire in one another, as the soldier approves. If all three are the same color, threesome, baby!
Let's go! Come on, threesome. Oh.
No.
Damn it.
No.
So the clone and the multiple match. They're both black and mine is red. For this, you had a black 7. So how did Colby let Jack know that Jack's mouth felt like heaven?
Colby was very reticent to hook up with their clone, but Bree was really into it and kind of did the hand on the back of both heads smooch sort of eye.
The challenger style.
There is like a surprise at how good Jack was at kissing, because Colby knows that's not how they kiss. And so there was like a shocked, like throaty surprise. And actually, I think Colby like grabbed Jack by the waist. And then how did Jack signal to Colby that Jack could have Colby in their mouth for hours? I think without prompting, after that kiss, like slowly hands down the side of the body, drops to their knees, and just like looks up for permission. Jack is on the ground in front of Colby, Bree's like right in between them to the side though. What did Colby do that temporarily ruined the mood?
Again, motherfucker.
Colby's always doing something.
I think that they asked, like, is this technically like masturbation? Like, if I eat Jack, would that be cannibalism? Colby just starts trying to think about, like, the actual semantics of the scenario. They're like, is this masturbation or is this sex? And then Bree's just like, I love you so much. Shut up. And what did you do to bring the mood back even stronger?
You said shut up to Colby, and Colby kind of snidely looks over and says, make me, and then grabs the front of Bree's shirt and pulls her in for a open-mouthed kiss.
We're all three the same color! Let's go! What did I try that was risky but worth it?
I mean, in general, this just entire trio situation was Bree's idea, so that was it. But in this exact moment, you showed up to the room where we had not yet decided that we were going to have sex, strapped up.
Locked and loaded, ready to go.
Locked and loaded, ready to go. And I think it was worth it because Colby notices that and eyes just go wide and like dark with lust. How did Colby tell Bree they loved it? They loved the act of wearing the strap.
I think you physically can't say it right now because you are currently like on top of Jack making out with them while Bree is behind you just sort of going to town. And I think you just sort of keep pushing back into it and then like occasionally like taking a second to like pause and then just like grab the pillow or something before refocusing and going back to town on Jack. Okay, we're both red. I'm ace, so I'm higher. How did I help you remember to stay quiet?
It's kind of a repeat of the last time, but you like hand around the front and up against Colby's neck and then like pulls them up and away from Jack. So they're like back against Bree's chest, like a head like back on her shoulder. Bree just goes, shh, baby girl. How did Colby express the noises they desperately wanted to make?
I have you like physically like pressed up against my body. You don't really have anywhere you can like grind against because I'm already like pounding into you. And so I think you just take whatever free hand you can and like reach up behind my hair and like grab, like get like a fistful of hair and just sort of like, just like pull on that a little bit, but like also pushing kind of thing where you're a little overstimulated. You're just like latching onto whatever the fuck you can find.
Hi, I'm Maia, and this is Maia's Game Room, a narrative actual play anthology featuring short-form, story-driven TTRPGs. Each season tells a new story using a different rules-light system brought to life with sound design, editing, and emotional-rich roleplay. So, if you love cinematic storytelling and character-driven drama, come check out Season 1, set in the haunting world of the Electric State RPG. Just search Maia's Game Room wherever you get your podcasts.
This January on Kickstarter, from MythWorks, the publisher behind The Wild Sea, Under the Autumn Strangely, and Decuma, comes a new TTRPG from the minds of Sam Carr, Rob Lee, and Felix Isaacs, The Eternal Ruins. The Eternal Ruins is a fantasy world-building project that began as YouTube videos and illustrations and has now evolved into a tabletop role-playing game. The Eternal Ruins themselves are a vast and endless collection of corridors, chasms, towers, and gardens. They are explored by wanderers, stone statues hatched to life as children, now seeking solace and hope in the bright places of the ruins, safe from the despair that the darker, more hostile corners may hold. Spirits and demons, hope and despair, exploration and identity, all combined into one beautifully curated 300 plus page rulebook that will serve as your guide into the labyrinth. The Eternal Ruins Kickstarter launches on January 27th, 2026. This month on Backer Kit is The Wanderer's Bookshop by Lola Johnson. The Wanderer's Bookshop is a solo journaling bookshop simulator where you collect stories, read books, and find your white whale. It weaves investigation and cozy caretaking through storytelling, journaling, and scrapbooking, guided by tarot cards. It's a slow life game that can be played episodically and allows you to engage with books and journal through your experiences of taking care of a magical bookshop. This Backer Kit campaign brings the game to print with exclusive extras. Let's make magic at http://tinyurl.com/wanderingbooks.
Fucking finally.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Pause
okay.
Pause in the fucking. Pause in the fucking.
Let's strap in, boys, but not in the fun way. We gotta go to war.
Okay, when war is drawn, you are called away from your bed to participate in the regime's horrors again. Each of you draw 3 cards face down and then a final card face up. The highest in the final draw wins and takes all the cards on the table. If there is another match, war again, as the horrors persist, you cannot touch each other during war. But there are no true winners, really. Before adding the cards to the winner's stack, turn over the face-down cards to reveal the casualties of this latest war and consult the war prompts. Okay, so we pull 3 cards face-down and then 1 card face-up. Okay, every ace revealed during a war represents a new death and resurrection for the clone. Once all wars are resolved, split the aces and shuffle them back in the deck. But this time it just represents a death, I think. The numbered cards represent people caught in the crossfire, regular people who suffer, lose, and sacrifice. Face cards are set aside separate from the rest of your pile and are never shuffled back into the deck. Instead, place them in a stack somewhere you can both see them. These represent an escalation you cannot ignore. The regime actions get worse with each of these drawn, and the pile of them gets harder to ignore.
Ace of spades. Oopsie poopsie.
So we pulled multiples, so the clone can't come back to life. But for the ace, that means they died.
Colby died? Did I just kill Colby?
The regime tries to pit the clones against one another. What do they offer one or both of you? What do they threaten if the offer is not taken? They offer Jack the, if you kill Colby, you can freely be with Bree and we won't step in to stop you. If you don't, we kill Bree. What lie do they tell one of you about the other? What do they promise will happen if you help? They say that they offered Colby the same deal and Colby already agreed to it. And they definitely did not offer that deal to Colby. What do they promise will happen if you help? They won't send you on missions that will actively kill Jack anymore. How is the clone's resolve shaken? Well, now that they fucked, like, can I kill myself? Like, do I have it in me to look me in the eye and kill myself? Yeah, Jack had the, like, all this stuff about, like, solution. And now, weirdly enough, the regime is offering a solution and Jack is like, do I take the solution? Am I a solution guy anymore? Because they don't know if they can kill themselves. Okay, number 10. Black. All 3 of you take a big swing against the regime. How do you fail tremendously?
I think that Bree tries... Like it was her idea first, and I think she's like, if we go in and we just, like, wreck their ritual area, which is sort of like the lab, but it's also, like, has to do with, like, gaining, like, this otherworldly cosmic power. Like, if we go in and we just start wrecking shit, they will that we can topple this thing from the ground up. Like, I think she's also, like, at this point been like, we probably are not going to make it out of this. But if we can do our part to try and help others out of it. But I don't think they even get to the inner sanctum that they had tried. I think that she tried to use, like, one of her, like, science, like, badges or whatever, like, get into the next layer, and it got rejected because, like, her access was denied. Because they revoked, and as soon as she, like, swipes her card and it, like, beeps and turns red instead of, like, going gleam to let her through, like, there's just this sinking feeling in her heart, and she turns back and she looks at Colby and Jack, and they both have, like a baseball bat or, like, a lead pipe or something that they're just, like, ready to go, and she has to be like, we need to run now. We have to go.
Does this end with, like, all the people we thought we were helping, like, put an even worse spot than before? Like, did we create, like, a coalition and then run and abandon because it didn't work out?
I think so. I think it gets worse because the resolve of the people that are being brainwashed gets more solidified in the regime's favor, because they're like, oh, this mad scientist tried to steal the god's power and make their own form of life, and it went bad, and they couldn't, and the regime manages to twist it in a way to make the three of them the villains. The regime escalates the war. What rules of diplomacy were abandoned this time?
I think there used to be a veil, like a thin veil of, we aren't doing this for power. We are doing this for you. And it's become very clear that if we bring Mr. Cthulhu back, it is only for their gain.
Yeah, like the very select few at the top. And everyone else is just sort of like battery power for this. Yeah, I think honestly they have to use a lot of people's like sacrifices to continue to escalate the war. Not necessarily just against the three of us, but also against the other cult, because I think on the other side things are ramping up as well. And so they are now utilizing people's sacrifices, who saying like, you're going to be brought back, you're going to be immortal, you just need to help us win this war, and they're just using them to feed the god power that then is used for violence against everyone else, including us.
What lives were lost right away on both sides?
I think a lot of like fodder on both ends. I think people who are like at the lower end of like the cast,
people who they kind of think are useless, sort of,
yeah, useless or just expendable, like they're only good for their blood, you know. A lot of the clones, I think, and their, like, vials, too, are being utilized. So, like, they can't come back. Maybe that's why Colby can't come back, though. All of their vials were used in this escalation. What new danger has this escalation introduced to everyday life?
I think the people don't necessarily know it yet. It'll take a bit to trickle down, but the fact that the regime has lost the ability to make as many clones as they did means that people will just start being used for the jobs that the clones were used for. So they're going to start dying at larger numbers. Okay, Six of Diamonds. The soldier was recruited to the regime because they are an expert and passionately skilled in some arena. How do they turn that skill against them?
I think that the regime suddenly, like, utilizing a bunch of its resources in the last big final push was unintentionally caused by Bree, because she purposefully contaminated a lot of the materials in the lab where they could not be used again. Not like the clone blood, but like the equipment that like harnesses the god power. And so now like that is on like a ticking time of like when it's no longer going to be accessible, so they're trying to get as much of it as possible right now. And she thought that like, oh, if I cut off the god power access, then no one else has to die. But she didn't realize that it was going to take so long for the last dregs of this like deity's power to like empty out, and they would like go full force with it while they could.
Black Six. The multiple clone has never had to work for the regime like the clone and soldier have. What advantage does this give them as you fight back? I think there's no loyalty. There is some misplaced loyalty from the original clone, Colby and Bree, because they kind of grew up and were built and designed for this. And the multiple clone doesn't have that. So there's no, like, torn between two places. There is, like, a clear-headed, this is what should be done, and honestly probably has the ability to kind of, like, talk Bree and Colby more onto the side that they should be fighting on. Not that Bree and Colby aren't fighting for that side, but just like, hey guys, snap out of it. Like, that's brainwashing. Let's go.
And then I had Red 2. You all lost someone today. How have you both changed? It happens as they're trying to, like, flee from the lab, from their botched, like, destruction quest. And, like, when someone, like, important to you dies, it often, even if, like, you can see it coming, it often feels like just any other moment and you don't process it. And so I think the three of them are running, and then there's the sound of, like, a gunshot. It goes from three sets of footsteps running down the hall to two sets of footsteps, and it takes both Bree and Jack a second to realize that Colby isn't right behind them. And by the time they pause and look back, they can see their body. Like, no question about it, this is not something that they survived. They died instantly. But they also see the people still chasing them, and they cannot do anything but keep running.
Jack is gonna come out of this and not know how to deal with their want for Bree, because their want for Bree only exists when Colby also wants Bree, and now there's a missing link in their group, and they don't quite know how to deal with that change in dynamic.
She has lost all confidence in her decision-making abilities because this whole thing was her idea. She fucked up in the worst possible way, even though it's not her fault, you know, obviously, but, like, she's like, this was my fault. I didn't make sure that Colby and Jack were running in front of me. Like, I should have sort of spiraling. And so she, like, becomes less confident in every way and just is so hesitant to, like, make any swings, big or small, whether it's in the war or
in the bed.
Or in the bed. She's just sort of, like, permanently, like, dissociating now. Joker.
Oh no, okay. What? There's another clone.
Wait, so what does that mean?
Yeah, so if a Joker is pulled, a multiple event has occurred. Yeah, so this new clone's name is Monty. They loathe each other because this new clone is like, I'm my own individual, and Jack is like, you fucker shouldn't be here. I just lost Colby. Colby's dead on the ground back there. What are you doing standing up ahead in this hallway? What do the coexisting clones admire in each other? Monty admires Jack's loyalty. Jack admires Monty's willingness to follow rather than lead, which is like what they originally did not like in Colby.
What will the consequences be if the regime finds you harboring too? Well, same as before. Gonna kill my ass and kill my clones in front of me first, probably. It's so sad every day. Like I said, the first time this happened, like, they would kill Colby in front of Bree and then continue to torture them. So I think that, like, it's getting even more bonkers. What new motivation has this anomaly inspired in you? Motivation is hard for Bree right now, gang. She just watched her partner get shot and now has two of them. I think that now Bree has sort of given up on the idea of the three of them escaping in any way, and now is fully motivated to just take down the regime. Like, kamikaze style, does not care about the consequences. Will try not to involve the clones in her harebrained schemes because she's sort of in, like, a self-destructive mode right now. But now the only thing that's keeping her going is, I'm gonna burn this whole fucking place to the ground because they took what I loved away from me. What difference in the new clone turns you on?
New clone is a cook.
I think so. Yeah, I think that the new clone is, because they're so like thrown into this in a really weird way too, they're sort of hesitant to like fully jump in physically unless like the cards say otherwise, obviously. And so I think to start out, they're like, no, just let me just see what you guys do. And Bree's like, oh, I know, that's hot. oh no, I'm discovering things about myself.
Once all the war prompts have been answered, you have fulfilled whatever demand the regime made of you, and you can finally get back to Bliss. Before you do, however, there are a few things to consider. What does the regime now demand you to do with your time instead of each other? And how do you dodge the regime's watchful eye to stay naked together?
I think the whole thing now is just about trying to hide and avoid everything.
Sure. The first question is important, though, as well, which is, what are they demanding of us? It's almost like they've stopped treating us as people, and it's almost like Bree now is clone handler, and like, you will train them and get them ready, and then they will do whatever we say, like always, but now it's your responsibility to have them ready at the moment's notice, sort of vibe, because they can't be trusted on their own anymore. And then how do you dodge the regime's watchful eye to stay naked together? Maybe actually they become very, very regimented in their schedules and what they do, so that the regime like gets lulled into like a sense of complacency about them. The thrill of finally getting back against your lover's skin will inspire you to try a new position that will be the star of the show this go around. Describe this position on your own or with inspiration from the questions below. Regardless to whether it resembles a position you already know the name of, name it something unique, doodle it, and note the new name in your repertoire. I mean, the first scene that we did before the clone, we weren't necessarily doing it in order, so that one hard to keep track of, but we've done a sandwich. We've done a sandwich.
We've done against the wall.
We could do kind of a DP situation here and have maybe Bree sandwich now, but I'm thinking Jack sitting in a chair, Bree on Jack, strap in ass, Monty in front, strap in pussy.
A grilled Bree sandwich.
I think Jack is handcuffed to the chair so they can't touch.
Red six.
I got a jack, so I'm high.
And we're all red.
Oh, we are all red.
Oh my god, it's the Bree sandwich.
What did I whisper to you that made your sighs louder? I feel like this is a Jack and Bree moment here.
Like, they do whisper it to Bree because Bree's head is, like, right there next to them. But I think it's also sort of themselves. And they just kind of go, oh my god, we're all so hot. What did my reaction make you feel?
I think, like, in that statement, there's this idea of, like obviously Jack is watching all, like, able to watch all of this happen. And getting a little sad here. But I think it, like, is the first time in doing this with the two of you that Jack has felt fully comfortable with Colby not being there. So it makes them feel comforted and like safe and hot.
If there's one truth about this whole thing, is that we are very hot.
All hot.
We're all so hot.
Jack and Bree. You finally ruined the mood.
What did Bree do that temporarily ruined the mood?
Ooh, there's some jealousy going in here. And I think that Bree kind of threw her arms around Monty's neck, and Jack could feel like how she moved, that she was more into Monty in the moment. And so Jack kind of like strap kind of pulls out and is just like almost has been cucked. Usually is the cucker and now has been cucked. And Jack does not like that. What did you do to bring the mood back even stronger?
Bree turns around to face Jack, gives like a little like look over her shoulder at Monty and says like, you rest for a second, and then gives her full attention to Jack. And, like, Monty likes that because they like being cucked, and Jack likes that because now they're the center of attention again, which is great.
You've made everyone in the room happy.
So me and Monty are matching. Why did Monty suddenly kiss Bree harder?
Monty is watching them on this chair, and Jack kind of peeks around the side of it, almost like in a, like, challenge of, look at this, look at me. Comes up to Bree and, like, grabs her by the chin and pulls her face to the side and just mashes their lips together, like almost lay a claim. Where did you grab Monty when they did that?
I'll say that Bree was sort of taken off guard by this kiss because they were focusing on Jack, and now they're like, oh, I'm getting a kiss. And so I think their first instinct was to, like, they still have one hand, like, paying attention to Jack, and they use their other and reach up behind Monty's neck, like, grip that, just the back of their neck.
We're all red.
And you've got the Red King, sire.
How did you know Jack and Monty were close? How does that differ?
Jack gets more demanding, almost. It's almost like a tug of war, and Bree is the dog toy at this point. And I think Jack just firmly plants her back on their lap. Like, no, you are staying here. For Monty, I think that a little bit of that sort of almost like mewling desperation that Colby used to have sort of comes through, which is fun and rough and so in layers. And I think that Monty just starts just saying like nonsense, like stuff under their breath, like, oh my gosh, fuck shit, oh my god, like just sort of like mumbling as they like focus in on watching Jack like take claim of Bree. What did I do to encourage the two of you?
For Jack, it's pretty easy just like kind of giving into that demand. So like it gets a little rough and it gets a little hard for a bit, and just kind of like going along with that with ease, allowing Jack to get off in that moment. And then for Monty, I think it's full eye contact and then telling Monty what to do to get themselves off.
Queen and eight, and you and I match. Monty's left out. So Jack, where did Bree idly touch you that made you want to start again?
Bree is the big spoon in this situation, and just that like soft grind against Jack's ass. What did Jack do that pulled you back in?
Absent-mindedly grinding against Jack's ass, and then Jack reaches a hand back and grabs onto her hip. Like, squeezes that and pulls her closer.
Monty's taking a nap.
2 and 4. You and I are still matching.
What did we try that made you lose your balance?
So we're, like, on the bed grinding. And then I think that we start getting, like, into it again. Not realizing how close to the edge of the bed I am now that there's 3 of us in it. And not just 2. And I think that there's a moment where, like, Jack presses in for a hard kiss, and then Bree go like leans back into it, and then, oh wait, no shit, so how did you catch me without losing a beat as I'm tumbling dramatically off the side of the bed?
Jack's arm just like slips up and over you and like full scoop onto your other side and just kind of pulls you back up, so then now you're like laying full like chest against chest on top of Jack.
My hero.
Queen,
and we all match.
So what did, maybe together, what did Jack and Bree do to Monty to pull them back in?
I like the idea of like with the almost fall, they're sort of like giggling now. There's like a point of levity. And I think when they like go back onto the bed, there's like a moment where they like look at each other and they look over at Monty desperately trying to take a nap, and they look back to they're like, we're not gonna give this motherfucker any rest, in a very playful way, just start like peppering like small little kisses along their spine, because I imagine they're just sort of like rolled face away, and the two of us just sort of like, hey Monty baby, hey, wake up, round 3, let's go. And that, for some reason, that like just does it for Monty. They're like these goofballs, oh no, I think I love them. What did Monty do that pulled them back in with us?
I think kisses are being had, and so Monty like gives into these kisses and like starts kissing down Bree's chest and stomach and like scooting themselves down the bed, and then just kind of like without any other sort of lead up just immediately starts eating her out.
Black King and a red three.
So how did Monty, oh my goodness, Monty gets off just by giving, let's go King,
let's go.
How did Monty let you know they were getting close?
I think that Monty is almost surprised. And so, like, while they're going down on Bree, they're like, there's like a hitch in their breath. Bree can very clearly tell that they're like, really? Again already? Okay. It's a delighted surprise.
The eating out gets a little stuttery.
What did Bree do to encourage Monty?
I think sitting up and away from Jack, so just like full face sitting Monty, and then just like reaching back and like rubbing circles against Monty's clit.
Red nine, I'm matching with Monty still. What did I do that temporarily ruined the mood again?
You called Monty Colby.
Oh no!
Yeah, and what did you do to bring the mood back even stronger after that mishap? What did you do? How did you fix that shit?
Bree immediately clocks that she fucked up, and Jack immediately clocks that she fucked up, but Monty, because they're in, like, the middle of an orgasm right now, they, like, they can kind of sense it, and so they start to sort of, like, surface, and then Bree just sort of, like, very quickly, like, doubles down on Monty's pleasure and just starts going to town on them. Like, everything's fine! It's okay! Look, I'm so sexy! Look at me! Look at me, I'm so hot and sexy! Don't pay attention to what I say with my mouth! Pay attention to the other things I do with my mouth! It's fine!
Seven! But it's Brian Monty still. How did Monty let you know that your mouth felt like heaven?
Bree managed to get, like, another orgasm, like, sort of, like, riding on the tails of the last one out, and Monty just, like, sort of, like, grabs her hair and just starts, like that same, like, sort of, like, oh, fuck, shit, fuck, just, like, nonsense, mumbled curses kind of thing. How did Bree signal to Monty that she could have them in her mouth for hours?
It's the, like, continuing through the aftershocks, and when Monty's, like, way too sensitive, and just, like, bringing them right back up into another orgasm.
No mercy.
I still match with Monty. What is happening?
What did Bree try that was risky but worth it?
I think Monty is really hesitant and nervous with penetration. And so I think Bree very slowly and delicately attempts to slip a couple fingers in, and in doing so, in like the perfect moment, the perfect state of pleasure, Monty like arcs way up off the bed, just like legs shaking as you hit that perfect spot, and send him into number three. Three consecutive orgasms.
And there was, like, a fourth one over on the chair. Like,
they really do need to go to bed.
At this point, Bree is going for a record to see how many she can get out of Monty. I think at this point, she's like, this has got to be some sort of personal record.
How did Monty tell you? I mean, I kind of answered that a little bit. Full body orgasm.
Gold stars all around.
Where did Monty idly touch Jack that made them want to start again? I think after Monty blacks out from three orgasms and comes to, Bree is sipping on water. Jack is holding water out. And I think when Monty goes to grab the water bottle, just like slightly, you know, fingers against fingers as they pull the water bottle back. What did Jack do that pulled Monty back in? Jack is like, they're a little demanding. And so I think they just kind of stare at Monty. They say, drink it. Monty drinks the water, puts it down. Jack reaches out and like grabs onto Monty's nipples and like uses that to pull Monty into him. So there's like a sting and a tug.
All three of us.
So a six. One person should give a confession, then the other two should say why that confession made than want to kiss, okay? I think that's what we should do. Bree, since you pulled the high card, what did you confess you wanted while resting on Jack's chest?
I think Bree just, like, she says that, I wish that every day was like this moment.
For Jack, who knew Colby and, like, understood the repeated resurrection cycle that they had gone through, I think, kind of with a little teary eyes, wants to kiss you because you both know what could have been. Like, if the regime didn't exist and it had just been the three of you in a bed together, like, it could have been that sweet. And I think opposite, Monty only knows the regime at its worst and hasn't had those peace days ever since their beginning of their existence. And so they kiss you out of comfort as, we're here, I'm here, we can get through it together. This is the last pool.
What?
No fucking what? Way. This is so funny, and I am gonna do it, okay?
A third cheese! Hey, Mr. Postman, can you give me
what I need? I'm looking for a tall man. At that moment, door opens, door to the fucking room opens, and in walks Blue. They slide the door to the bedroom shut behind them. All of you turn to stare at each other, and there's like a little cock in Blue's hip and a little wink on their face. They're a little cocky one here. Well, it's about time I was invited to the party. And they saunter over to the bed, and the rest is history.
When you reach the end, the tragedies stacked up between you have become too big to ignore, and you have decided to be an arm for the regime for the last time. You have to do something drastic. They've ruined everyone's lives for too long. They've used you to do it for too long. And they're always keeping you from fucking each other. Decide together how you finally fucking snap and how you bring the regime down. I think Blue might be the catalyst for this.
Blue walks in, you guys fuck. You think it's fade to black, you think it's history. But in reality, you guys come out of your sex haze and Blue is like, so guess what? And like, Blue knows exactly what button to press to end it all for the regime. I mean, the cost of taking them down was losing Colby. Did we lose anybody else?
The cost for this sort of like cult society, in the sense that like when we blow everything up, it could be very literally, and now everyone has to find somewhere else to suddenly like fucking scatter and go. And like eventually they'll realize like, oh no, that was fucked up. We were like in a cult. Oh my God. But like initially the cost is very much so like, oh my God, what's happening? Why is everything suddenly going wrong? I thought that this deity was supposed to protect us, and it's suddenly like, maybe the last dregs of its power were being turned against the institution to, like, sort of cannibalize itself, almost. But yeah, it was worth it. We got out. Fuck you guys.
How good was it to see them fucking fall? I mean, I think it almost rivaled fucking.
Yeah, it was, hey, it was real fucking good. I think there's this, like, a bitterness to the taste as well, because making them fall doesn't bring Colby back. But it does avenge them. And like, despite what Disney would have you believe, sometimes vengeance is sweet. Sometimes it's good and just and right. And you need to kill fascists.
Correct.
How did we celebrate?
Oh. I mean, I think we know.
Yeah. Well, an ice cream party. And by that, I mean we got into food play. genuinely, I think that they do just find, the four of them now find a little haven off somewhere remote where it can just be them together every day sharing moments of bliss.
So that was actually a lot of fun. I had two things. Number one, we fucked up the Joker thing, which meant that Colby didn't have a chance to not die.
Yeah. Yeah. We sort of set Colby up for failure.
So multiples are pulled during war. At least that's what I think.
What happens if you pull a Joker?
Yeah, I don't
know. So do you put the Jokers in the deck when the war happens? Otherwise, they're pulled out, and then when the war starts, you put the Jokers in the deck?
It says, like, separate Jokers and Aces from the full deck and place them aside, which I didn't do, because then you were supposed to put them specifically in a spot in the deck. Though, we didn't have separate decks. We were pulling from the same deck because we were doing it digitally. So we already handicapped ourselves a little bit. I don't know what happens with the Jokers when you pull them. I mean, that's why I thought just multiples came about. But then it didn't really seem like it worked outside of war. Because again, Colby didn't have the chance to be resurrected because we pulled a Joker outside of the war and we brought a multiple in, which means you can't be resurrected. So that was sad. So we never got like a resurrection. We never got the moments. We never got any of the stuff without the multiples because we pulled a multiple so early. It's fine. It's the first time playing it through. That's why we do this show. It's because we learn how to play a game with all of you. It's also, I will say, like, we played what is considered the short version of this game by pulling till the deck was gone. It was almost impossible to pull a war after we did the first one.
Is it because we're all supposed to have, like, two different decks, and so the chances of having matching cards is increased?
Well, no, so you won't have two different decks. You would just have one 52-card deck. Like, wars, you split it, so you deal it out. So what we were doing is fine. And like, what we were doing is how you would play war. You just usually would have your own. The short is you just play till the deck is out, which we did, and didn't reset it. But that still was, like, 2.5 hours of play.
Of horny time.
Of horny time. And most of it was horny time, because, again, we got one war.
We got one war. We're just so good at peace. We're so good at sexy talk.
We're just so good at fucking each other.
And we're both so good at knowing sex things better than anyone else. Like, that is a fact.
We really, no one can really argue. Started off the vibe with, number one, the cheese, which I'm really
cheese
glad we did that.
Cheese is sexy.
Number two, the question being, how do you tell them that you're close? And you went, close to what?
That was possibly the worst first question I could have gotten.
Yeah, that's still the funniest thing.
Oh my god. Close, like, are we, like, close to the front lines at this point? Like, what is it? Ash, bitch, come on. I will say, like, as an asexual person, I think the closest I get to being horny is when I'm eating really good food. Like, I've been brought to tears by a good loaf of bread. It was, like, I remember it was a sun-dried tomato loaf.
I feel like this is the second time this week I've heard this story.
Because I keep thinking about that loaf of bread. Hey, and to give you a context for how long, this was back in high school. I'm still reminiscing about a loaf of bread from over 10 years ago. But yeah, so cheese is sexy. It melts. It could put it in all sorts of stuff.
No, listen, I think we did a pretty decent job for neither of us ever having played an erotic game before. I don't know if there are other, like, I'm sure there are, but, like, this is the most explicit game, outright explicit game that we've played.
I will say, I think that the Venn diagram between, like role-play game aficionados and, like, kinksters is mostly a circle.
Adult content influencers should play this game.
Yeah.
Sex worker actual play performers.
Yeah.
OnlyFans people. Especially if they could do it in person, because, again, well, also, what would be super interesting about this game, I don't think it would super work, but it could, is if, you know, you and your partner want to play this game and maybe wanted to, like, play it by, like, acting out the prompts rather than, it never says in here.
Never says, but it does say to always be touching.
It does say to always be touching. I think it would be a little hard just because...
Well, there is that mechanic of, like, making up a new position, too.
Yeah, no, but just, I feel like there's so many, like, you just have to stop and draw a card all the time. It would really impose on your sexy times.
I will say, I think that it would be interesting to have a separate table for the multiples. Like, a separate intimacy table for the multiples.
Different questions for those.
Because it did get repetitive after a while. And if this is a short version, I think that, like, there could be, like, the initial intimacy table, the multiples table, a table after a war. You know what I mean? Like, just to sort of keep things... Because we also didn't pull any cards that were, like, what? Like, we didn't get any fours or fives.
Yeah, we were getting... Well, because... We were, but we were pulling high cards, so we would never answer those questions. You know what I mean?
Oh.
We kept pulling, like, the 10 and the...
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. But, yeah, honestly, overall, a lot... You know, I think that when I first saw this, like, got the game and read through it, I was, like, a little nervous. Just because, like, it's a content that I haven't necessarily engaged with in this way yet. But I found it actually pretty easy. And, like, I mean, me and you are friends, so, like, I didn't feel weird. You know what I mean? Like, I felt comfortable doing this.
Think that it brought a chuckle to me when you first texted me about it and you were like, and just let me know, like, if this is, like, not something you're comfortable with, blah, blah. And I had to very kindly remind you, Kenzie, I've been on multiple sets where I'm basically just ass naked in a room full of strangers.
That's a project I have never seen and probably will never see. And so I don't have, that's not in the forefront of my brain. But also, when I originally asked, it was more of, like, does this content fit us?
And I think it does, especially with the I don't know if we've announced it yet, but the other thing that we're working on that's explicit.
Oh, the audio? The podfic? I mean, I
posted the podfic, which is also explicit and things. I think we are moving in that direction. I think that's good, too.
And it's not going to be everything we make, but, like, we've done their other games on the channel before, and I love Mickey 17, and I wanted to give it a shot, so.
Yeah, I had a fun time. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. We'll see how I don't know how the fuck I'm going to edit this.
As we've been going, I've been like, oh, no, Kenzie. Oh, no, Kenzie.
A lot of sheets rustling.
I am very proud of my fan art, too.
I'll post it publicly once we post the game, I think, if you don't mind.
No, yes, please do.
Do I have to like, content warning stick figures? So I don't, I'll probably do it. It's just stick figures. It's funny.
I think it's very funny, like, explicit images, and it's just like, meh.
I appreciate the comedy of the cheese. Thank you, Ash, for that. That was really fun. Thank you, everybody, for listening, if you have listened. If this isn't your cup of tea, I don't know why I'm addressing you. Because
I don't know how you made it this far, yeah.
It is also okay if you didn't want to engage in this. We understand we were trying something new, trying a new game.
Definitely a fun game to play with, like, a partner or at a sex party or something, too. Or
there are sex parties. Take this to a sex party.
Hey, guys, I have a game. Before we get into the Shibari, let's play...
Yeah, if y'all are interested, it is currently up on BackerKit this month. You can check it out. All's Fair is the name of this game. And it is going up co-crowdfunding here with Rise Wizards, which was another one we were going to try out, except it's like a dice stacking map making world building game. And you have to, like, use Jenga. We could not have done this. We could not have done it.
Just be describing blocks.
Yeah, this was hard to do just over a call and not in person. That would have been impossible. We'll put the link to the backer kit in the description box. You should go check that out. I'm sure you'll find more about it over there. You'll see what they're offering. But happy zine month.
Happy zine month.
And happy Black History Month.
Back into your month. Like, thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you had a fun, horny time with all this cheese. Like,
that's it. That I'm gonna end it there.
I know. I fucked it up again.
If you liked it, share, rate, and review. You can join our Discord And make sure to check out our Patreon for this season's character advancements, bloopers, aftershows, and so much more.